Hopefully over the next few weeks we're going to do a series of messages on the ministry of Jesus. But this one, the first one, I believe is one of the most important. The reason being that if you don't believe what we preach on this particular subject, anything else that follows will have no meaning to you whatsoever. That's how important it is. Well, we're reading from John chapter 7, verse 11. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there were much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, "He's good." Others said, "No, on the contrary, he deceives the people." However, no one spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. And about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters who has never studied?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone will to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it be from God or whether I speak of my own authority. He who speaks for himself or from himself seeks his own glory. But he who speaks or seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him." In verse 46 of the same reading, the officers answered and said, "No man ever spoke like this man." The Pharisees were a group who had no doubts about Jesus whatsoever. He was a deceiver. Others thought, perhaps he's a prophet. Still others actually believed he was the Messiah. But no one dared commit themselves to speaking openly and saying what they really felt, except the Pharisees. Jesus appears to have brought division amongst the people. But there are a group of officers who have been sent by the high priests to arrest Jesus, came back without him and said, "No man ever spoke like this man. He is no ordinary man," so they thought. But listen to his own words when he spoke, which we just read in John 7, verses 16 to 18. He says, "I've got a message that's not mine. It's God's message, and God has sent me to you to deliver it. Now, if it was my own message, I don't speak with the authority of God." And people who come with their own messages only seek to glorify and honour themselves. But the one who speaks on behalf of God seeks to honour and bring glory to him. And therefore, when he speaks the truth and not lies. Sometimes in life we have to come up to a situation and a circumstance and make a decision about certain things. And this is one of those occasions. I want to ask you this question, and you must settle it for yourselves. I might think to myself, most of these people will agree with the statement, but I can never be certain. Do you really know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal saviour? But this question is this: are Christ's teachings his own or God's? You have to make that decision for yourself. Some thought he was a good man, an honourable man, a man of extraordinary gifts. Some thought he was the Messiah. Some thought he was just a deceiver. But what do you think about Jesus today? You may say, well, he lived 2,000 years ago. What do you mean he lived 2,000 years ago? He's still living. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us, seated at God's right hand. He can be as effective for you today as he was 2,000 years ago. So we have to make our mind up. If Jesus spoke from himself, then he could not speak on behalf of God. He had no authority whatsoever. But if what he taught came directly from God, then we have to listen. Not just listen, but also obey. And that's important. No man spoke like this man spake, said the officers. But what did Jesus say about his own ministry, his word? It's quite a bit to get through this morning, so I'll have to get on. John 6 says this, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very word I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So we conclude from that statement, the words that Jesus is speaking to you are eternal. They have eternal value, and they also can sum up your eternal destiny. It's clear that the Holy Spirit gives to all those who believe his words and act upon them. They enter into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They have a new chance. As Jesus puts it, they are born again from heaven. When we take communion, as we've just done so, this is my body broken for... He doesn't say whosoever, does he? He says you. It's very personal. He died for you and I. And then when he took the wine, he said, this is a new agreement by my blood. He says, I have died for you so that your sins are covered both now and in the future. I'm offering to you a new agreement between God and myself. That if you believe in me and believe my words, you will have everlasting life. The Bible says, he that hath the Son has life. Second thought, the words of Jesus are like seeds. You know, I'm always surprised about some of the stuff that comes up in my garden. I don't know who sowed them. I showed Jessica the other day. I said, look at this, Jessica. I don't know who sowed this. I didn't. And there was 3 or 4 ears of corn. I didn't plant them. But the birds did. Because I put seeds out for the birds to eat, and sometimes they drop them all over the place. And there it was. I said, from that you get your bread in the morning for dinner and tea. It's like seeds. Jesus says that the word of God is like a seed. And it's sown, some falls on the pathway and it's hard, and birds come along and scoop them up and swallow them and they're gone. Others fall on ground that's not very deep. And, you know, it springs up pretty quick. And then when the heat of the sun comes up, it shrivels up and dies. Some falls amongst weeds. And when the weeds grow up, they grow up together. And the weeds are so strong. You know, have you noticed when we have a nice hot summer, you look at your lawn, what survives? The weeds. The weeds. And the moss, of course. My lawn's more moss than grass. Anyway, it grows, isn't it? And he said it chokes the very life out the wheat. And it dies. The cares of the world. And he says, some falls on good ground. I thought, well, this is a good story. It's a good ending. But even with the good soil, it gets 30, 60, 100%. Some farmers would say, well, that's pretty good odds. But you know, the word of God is so powerful that it needs to be understood. It is the word of God. We need to take notice of what Jesus is saying to us. We need to adopt his lifestyle. That's what we're going to talk about over the next week, 2 or 3 weeks. The lifestyle of Jesus. Thirdly, they have cleansing power. Cleansing power. John 15 says this, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I give to you. So when you listen to the word of God and believe the word of God, it is activated in your life. It does something that you don't really understand or appreciate, but it does, because it's living, it's active, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the marrow from the bone. To believe the word of Jesus produces within us then a cleansing, just like soap and water. On the outside, it does the work inside. Believing his word purifies us from all our sins, past, present and future. That's how effective the word of Jesus is to us today. Fourthly, they that believe the word of God, the word of God, the word of Christ, separates you to God. Theologians like to call this sanctification. But simply put, when you open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ to come in, you become a child of God. And you're separated unto him. You become a member of a family, the family of God. I belong to two families. I belong to the air family, which is my natural family. But also, I belong to the family of God. And I hope if you know the Lord, that you're a member of the same family as we are. I could never get used to the idea of having more brothers and sisters. I thought I got enough of my own without any more. But of course, when I joined the church, I had many brothers and sisters in the Lord. John 17 says this, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is the truth. Living what we believe separates us. It separates us from the world and it separates us unto God. It makes us a part of his wonderful family. Fifthly, the words of Jesus brings us into a freedom. John 8 says this, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So it brings us freedom when we believe the word of God. Free from my sin, free from slavery to it, and a freedom to serve and follow the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of my life. Number six, his word will give us everlasting life, eternal life. John 5 says, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Have eternal life. You see, listening to and believing his word will gain you eternal life. So the secret of eternal life is found only in his words, that they must be believed and acted upon immediately. Remember, Paul was brought before Felix, and Felix was a busy man, and he says, oh, you'll almost persuade me, he says, but, you know, another day. And that another day never came. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. So we have to make that decision today, whether we believe the words of Jesus. Number seven. John 8 says, and this is the words of Jesus, if we keep his word, we'll never die. You might say, well, I've been to enough funerals to know that people do die. I tell you the truth, anyone who obeys my teachings will never die. Jesus is not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual and eternal death. To listen to, to take in and believe and live the words of Jesus will bring a new life that we've never experienced before, spiritual life. Jesus says his words are spirit and they are truth. He's not talking about men's or man's philosophy. He's talking about the real word, the eternal word of God that brings spiritual life. And that when we die at the end, we shall rise up together to be with the Lord. Eighthly, the words are eternal. Matthew 24 says this, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. It's a wonderful thought, you know. The words of Jesus, since the moment he spoke them, still exist today and will continue to exist into eternity. That's a wonderful thought. That's how important the words of Jesus are to us today. When Jesus went around, he just didn't go around healing the sick and raising the dead. He spoke the word of life. It was life transforming. To illustrate this, he was in the temple one day and there was a big noise, a big kerfuffle. And all of a sudden, a group of men threw a woman in front of him. He says, you know, what should we do with her? She's been caught in the act of adultery. Now, Moses says she should be stoned. But what do you say? He didn't say anything, did he? He just sat down and started to write on the floor. I must admit, I'm very curious. I'd love to know what Jesus actually wrote. But he said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And of course, by the time he'd finished writing, he looked up, there was nobody there. Who said to him, where's your accusers then? Well, they've all gone. He says, neither do I accuse you, go and sin no more. We told nothing more about her at all. But if she went and did what Jesus had told her to do, one day you'll have the privilege of meeting her. That's a nice thought, isn't it? Meeting her in heaven. The same as the woman at the well. Been married 5 times, and the one she was living with then wasn't married. But when she went back into the village, she told them all about Jesus, and he stayed there 3 days. She's another one that you'll meet in heaven one day. But there's a sobering thing about this, and this is our last thought. His words will eventually be the judge of all those who reject him. And that's a pretty sobering thought. I remember quite distinctly in 1960, on November the 8th, is when I heard about Jesus for the first time. When I say heard about Jesus, heard about him as far as the gospel was concerned. But what really was impressed on me, not necessarily by the preacher, because I can't even remember what he was preaching about, but must have been the Holy Spirit just saying to me, this is your one and only opportunity to believe and receive me into your heart and life. Don't miss that opportunity. What did he say about this? John 12, Jesus says these words, but all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truths I have spoken to them. This is a clear statement. To reject Jesus leaves us to stand before God and answer why we rejected him, who offered to us the free gift of salvation. Why would anyone do this? The Pharisees did. What will you do with Jesus and his word? Only you can answer that particular question. And you have to do it here and now. Because one day we'll all appear before God. In conclusion, in John 12, Jesus says, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. In verse 50, the same chapter, he says, "And I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatsoever the Father tells me to say." Jesus realized the importance of every word that he spoke to the crowd and the people, either personally or collectively as a group. He said, "I know the commands lead to eternal life. I know. So whatsoever I say, the Father tells me to say." I'm not saying anything for myself. This is what God is actually saying to you. Now remember, the Jewish people up to that time had spent 400 years without any real deep experience with God whatsoever. They had no prophets. The last one was at the close of the Old Testament. And now suddenly, this young man appears and says that he is the Word of God, the very Word of God that will bring them everlasting life. He is the Messiah. This was very serious. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." His words are God's words. His words are eternal. His words can transform your life and bring you peace to your soul, but also a place in the family of God. God loves you and he loves me, and he offers his Son in your place upon the cross. What will you do with Jesus? Let's pray. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour, I want to give you the opportunity to open your heart and life to him this morning. It may be unusual what we're doing, but I want you to know Jesus like we know him. I want you to have a relationship with Jesus like you've never had before. But you need to recognise that who Jesus is. He is the Son of God who came into this world and brought a wonderful message to you, that if you believe upon him and believe his teachings and follow him, you'll be born again and become a member of the family of God. But you have to recognise that you are a sinner, and that you really need Jesus, and you need to confess your sins to him and come to him and ask him to come and save you. Just as seriously if you fell into a river and you were drowning and somebody dived in and saved you, that person will be your saviour. Do you know Jesus, your saviour today? I'm just going to pray a little prayer, and if you want to pray, pray it along with me, and then I'm going to ask you to put your hand up if you've prayed that prayer so we can pray with you and give you some literature. Heavenly Father, I realise that Jesus is somebody special. He's the Son of God who died for me. I'm a sinner, and all the things I've done in my life, I can't undo. But Jesus died for me because he loved me, and I confess all my sins to him and ask him to save me and become my saviour. Just come into my heart and life today. In Jesus' name I ask this. If you prayed that prayer, just put your hand up and we'll give you some literature and pray with you this morning. If anybody has prayed that prayer, just put your hand up and we'll pray with you. Lord, you know our hearts, and we don't force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. But if it's somebody who's undecided, we pray, Lord, that they will leave this place and consider the words of Jesus, who he is, and his message to us today is just as real and vital as it was 2,000 years ago. So, Lord, we just pray you'll bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen.